You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com. Offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
This is another episode of To The Journey.
To the journey!
I'm Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as he is every single week, is the fabulous Tristan Riddell. How are you doing this week, sir?
Oh, well, I'm doing fabulous. You know, it was a perfect descriptor, so thank you very much.
Well, after talking death last week, I'm glad we're moving on to something maybe a little more optimistic, at least toward the end. I mean, we're still going to visit some dark places, because what we're doing this week is we are rewriting Extreme Risk, which we prefaced last week as, yes, this is a great B'Elanna episode, and we normally don't rewrite, episodes that we really like and think that are solid, but we came up with the fantastic idea of, what if Janeway was in place of B'Elanna in this story? And of course, this episode goes into the depths of depression, and so we're still going to reach dark places, but, you know, in the end, is Janeway going to eat banana pancakes? Probably not, but we're going to end it on a high note this week, so if you think we're total downers, just hang with us for a little bit longer. We're going to get there.
You know, it's really, I don't want to say funny. I mean, funny as in interesting, where some of the shows that we've had the most response or the most heartfelt messages has been about mental illness or depression, physical ailment, you know, ability issues, whether they're mental or physical. And it's really humbling to know that just you and I talking about how Star Trek addresses these issues can connect with people on such a on such a basic level and an emotional level. And I didn't really understand how deep this went in Voyager until I started podcasting with you a couple of years ago, because, you know, as I'm watching it, just as a kid and watching all of Star Trek, whether it's Voyager or not, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is, you know, like, this is the AIDS episode, or this is the schizophrenia episode, or, you know, like, it tackles some sort of aspect of human, of the human existence, but I didn't realize how in-depth Voyager went until I started analyzing it myself.
Right, when it actually relates to you on a personal level. And I think part of the reason why we get such great feedback from our listeners is because we've talked about how that has affected us personally. And let's face it, we all kind of have a cross to bear, whether it's depression or a physical ailment. We all have something that we're dealing with. And so when you see somebody on screen, especially with a show that you love, like Voyager, addressing that and showing it with what, you know, one of the characters that we love so much, it hits you. And it hits you hardcore. You relate to it, you identify with it, and you say, hey, I'm not alone. And that's an incredibly powerful and comforting message, which no matter what you're going through, that's always comforting. That's always a good thing. It's very powerful.
Absolutely. And just so the listeners know that, you know, we are going to be talking about depression during this episode. We're going to be talking about what Janeway is going through on a mental level as a captain and as this paternal figure to her crew. And we're going to crack some jokes, and we're going to talk about our own experiences. And we are in no way going to be making light of depression or mental illness. We are, by doing any kind of fiction around it, we're not using it purely for entertainment or anything like that. What we're going to be doing is just discussing a part of the human existence that should be talked about and maybe learn something about using entertainment. And so I just wanted to get that off my chest right at the beginning.
So we're not going to sugarcoat it whatsoever, because we've both been through this. We know what it's really like. It sucks. And so we're going to give it a very honest look.
All right. So Voyager, episode 3 from season 5, production number 197, aired October 28th, right before Halloween, in 1998, episode Extreme Risk. Now, I believe this is the first time that we've gone to a rewrite with a goal in mind.
Yes, actually, I think you're right, because a lot of times the rewrite is, well, this episode had potential and we need to kick it up a notch.
Yeah, we need to kick it up a notch. We need to do some punch up, as they say. And
this one's different.
Like we said, like, okay, what if Extreme Risk had a different protagonist and that is Janeway? You know, like, Janeway is your woman.
She is. She's my girl.
I am itching to know what were some of your initial thoughts. Now, like, we can do some back and forth. We can take some turns. You know, we could build this together. However you want to play it.
Okay.
But I want to know, what's your framework here? Like, what were some of your first ideas?
Well, what I love about this is, because it is a good episode, we have options. We could, and I realized this as I watched the episode in prep for our recording, you could do a line-by-line remake of this episode and put Janeway in place of B'Elanna, and it would still work. By and large, you would not have to change much at all. You could change some character lines here and there, but you could use pretty much the same script, but with Janeway in B'Elanna's place, and it would actually work.
Oh, and for those of you at home who are not as obsessed as we are, we forgot to give a quick summary of the episode. Extreme Risk is that episode where it has an A plot and a B plot that are both really great, but you know, you don't really know which one's A and which one's B. And this is how it's described. The crew races to build a new shuttle designed by Tom Paris in order to retrieve a multispatial probe trapped inside a gas giant. Meanwhile, B'Elanna Taurus's attitude worries the crew. Now, here's the thing, is that, like, B'Elanna gets some news that a lot of the Maquis have been wiped out, have been killed by the Cardassians, and a lot of her friends and family are gone, are dead.
Right. We found this out in Hunters when they started getting messages from home.
That's right. And B'Elanna doesn't know what to feel because she doesn't feel anything. She's scared because she doesn't feel anything, because she's not feeling pain, she's not feeling remorse, and she feels dead to the world. And so she starts putting herself in these extreme situations, like orbital skydiving with the safeties turned off, battling Klingons and getting hurt, and hiding her injuries from the crew. She's just been kind of despondent, and all the while the crew is like, hey, come on, you know, like, we, like, what's going on with you? You know, like, why are you acting the way you are? Tom's really weird. Like, Tom notices that she's acting weird because they're designing a shuttle together, and Tom's like, this is what we've been waiting for, is to do something like this together, and why aren't you as excited as I am? And then she goes back and forth, and then Chakotay, because Chakotay is awesome and loving and warm and kind, investigates and finds a holodeck program where B'Elanna recreated what the situation would have looked like while the Cardassians were killing her friends. Now, obviously, this disturbed Chakotay, and Chakotay wanted to get down to the bottom of it. He literally threw her into the holodeck and said, why did you do this? Why did you create this? What are you feeling? Are you trying to commit suicide? And she goes, no, of course not. And then goes into this tirade about how she doesn't feel anything. And they talk it out. They work it out. And she gets on the other side of it through the help of self-determination and her friends. And they end up saving the multispatial probe. They build the Delta Flyer. They save the probe. And B'Elanna saves the day and saves the crew and gets over depression.
Well, there's a nice tidy bow on the top
yes.
of the package there. Yeah. One thing that I always does kind of irritate me about portraying depression on TV is it's not so clear cut. You're not going to get over it within an hour. And of course,
right.
they did this with Janeway at night. They do it again with B'Elanna in this episode. It's not awful because they're showing that, okay, she's on the road to recovery.
Right, right.
You know, she's starting to feel a little bit again because she takes that bite of banana pancakes toward the end and realizes, hey, these are kind of good. All right, I'm getting back to my old self now. That's great. But as we know, depression can take a long time to go from point A to point B to a place where you actually feel whatsoever again.
Yeah, right.
For the sake of TV, they have to kind of push it, but That's actually something that I would change just a little bit in my rewrite, is showing just a little bit, like a baby step rather than a big step toward the recovery mm-hmm. with Janeway. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So with
so
the rewrite.
Let's go back to it. Yeah, with the rewrite.
Yeah, so you could either do a line by line remake, but we got to do a little more work than that. I mean, otherwise we'd be doing some really lazy podcasting here. And one thing that I would do actually in my headcanon, if I were writing Voyager, I would have actually extended the guilt that she's carrying from Night and make it into this episode, folded into here, where, you know what? She really isn't getting better. I mean, she found a way to get through the crisis in Night and get everybody through that. But then you know what? Then she starts doing this stuff on the holodeck with the safeties off because she really isn't better. Nobody really knows. Like, people know that something is up, even though mm-hmm. she has been spending more time on the bridge, or maybe she isn't. Who knows? You could do either way, actually. But by this point, they're still a little used to the fact that maybe she's just not around as much, and Chakotay's spending a lot more time on the bridge, and he's delegating a lot more of the responsibility. As far as the Delta Flyer project goes, I'd say you could have Janeway involved in that. Maybe when they started this project, she was really gung-ho and really excited and thinking, yeah, guys, let's do this. This is a great idea. I think we really need to develop it. And I want in. I want help with you all to do it. Even not because she doesn't think that her team can't do it, just because she's excited about the project and she wants to help. You know, maybe she's got some science expertise. It's a pet project, and we all know Janeway loves pet projects. But in this episode, it's, you know, that scene in the ready room where they're talking about putting the Delta Flyer into motion and they officially start this space race with the Melon. Maybe she's sitting there really despondent like B'Elanna is. And by she, I mean Janeway. And they're saying, well, Captain, are you on board? Are we doing this? They're waiting for her. Okay. And she actually says the same line that she's been saying. Well, what are you waiting for? You know, get to it. But it's in such a different delivery. She's really despondent, like, yeah, I don't care. Just go. Do it. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Yeah,
She's not excited about it. She's not saying, yeah, let's get down to the cargo bay and build this thing. No, she's just, yeah, go. What are you still doing here? And then she runs back to the holodeck. And I figure the big customization for this episode is what Janeway is doing it for her holodeck programs, because she's not going to do the same thing that B'Elanna does. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that I thought of was, because she was carrying a lot of guilt in Night, she is going to recreate the ending part of Caretaker, essentially, about destroying the array and the Kazon. And of course, because this is Janeway, and this does harken a little bit back to last week with what if Janeway died, she's going to find ways to sacrifice herself so that her crew can get home. In that scenario, she's looking for multiple ways to do it. And so she's doing that, and she's taking safeties off. She is injuring herself. She has stolen a dermal regenerator from sickbay because she's the captain and she got away with it. She deactivated the EMH for a second, something like that. Mm-hmm. And you can still have the reveal later on, too, in sickbay. Like, what are you doing? Even though that's Janeway talking to B'Elanna, you can still have Janeway in B'Elanna's place. You could have that conversation with Chakotay, or you could have it with the doctor. Like I'm saying, you could slot different people and have the same story, just with Janeway as the protagonist.
Okay. Yeah, I never really thought of the caretaker angle. That's interesting, because, you know, in Night we find out, you know, like, it's not just in Night where we find this out, but, you know, that's the linchpin right there. That is the moment of crucible for Janeway, where this is where everything went wrong. This is where, right. You know, like, her making that decision is what cost people their lives. Even though she saved the lives of strangers, she lost lives of her crew. It's, yeah, that's interesting that's the moment that she goes back to.
Yeah, certainly at least one. We saw different scenarios with B'Elanna's holodeck program. So if you wanted to give it variety, what else would she be doing? I would say we go back to maybe the planet in Basics. She saves Hogan from the slithering monster in the cave or something. She prevents somebody's death at her own expense. There's a lot that you could do. Anything relating to losing a member of her crew, getting the ship home, you name it. She's harboring a lot of guilt, and she's exercising it through these scenarios.
from a production standpoint and from a visual standpoint, that would look really cool on screen, because we could have these highlights of the show where it's not a clip show. You know, it's not
right,
Shades of Grey, but
oh, thank God.
You know, like, we open up the episode with something that we've already seen before, and the audience is confused, and we're like, is this a repeat? What's going on? I thought we were getting a new episode this week. And then
can just tell, like, okay, this is something from Caretaker, but it's not Caretaker because the lines are different or something like that.
Yeah, I think the main thing that would be interesting is if it was like something from Basics or something from Caretaker. I feel like maybe we should save Caretaker for last, just because that's the big moment. But yeah, just from a production standpoint, I don't know why. Just I don't know why. Maybe
not
that. Maybe
the
I'm
teaser
wrong.
Where you draw people in with that. Because the orbital skydiving was pretty cool too, and I think they opened with that for a reason.
But I think what would be cool is, we see Janeway in the scenario. Let's just say it's Caretaker's. It's your idea, so let's just say it's Caretaker.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. You do what you want with yours, and I can't wait to hear yours.
Exactly. Yeah. We use Caretaker as the opening, but Janeway comes on, and everything's going the same exact way, but Janeway comes on screen, and she looks like season 5 Janeway.
Ooh, I like it. So she doesn't put on the bun of steel. She's got her shoulder-length bob.
Yeah, she has her shoulder-length bob. She's aged, obviously. She's aged 5 years. And then just things are a little bit different. Things are like, she's talking with Tuvok, and Tuvok's like, you know, should we do this? And she goes, no, absolutely not. You know, or something like that. You know, just like not this time.
Yeah, something takes a really sharp turn.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it ends with like Harry Kim saying, we did it, we're home, we're in the Badlands. And then you hear a boop, you know, bridge to Janeway, we need you. She's like, I'll be right there. And then she's like, in program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, just walks out, something like that. What do you, I think visually that'd be very striking.
I have a great idea. Because you know how when B'Elanna is doing the skydiving, she gets the communication from, I think it was Chakotay. And she's like, I can't believe this right now. I think right at the moment where Janeway is about to sacrifice herself is when she gets that communication. And she's just about to kind of get that reward that her brain is seeking. That she gets the communication, and she's just, unbelievable. Really? Okay, fine, I'll be there. And it's still the same kind of thing, just customized for Janeway, just as good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. And then we like keep going, like we start to develop, like as the shuttle, you know, episode is going, we start to see more and more of these events. Maybe even, it's not even just going back home. Maybe we see Tuvix. All of a sudden.
Oh, pain.
Like, but the thing is, like, we don't see that finish, you know, like where she gets interrupted again, where that way you get some fan service from the haters.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
Even Janeway recognizes that she struggled with that decision, but we don't actually see her change her decision because she gets interrupted before we get pulled out.
Ooh, brutal, but I like it.
I think that would be interesting because people would go, yes, of course she's revisiting that because she made the wrong decision. Like, she's such a horrible captain. And then, but then the producers don't give the haters that altered scene.
Yeah, but they so do, suck it.
Yeah, exactly. But they allow you to see that Janeway knows there's some ambiguity there.
Of course.
Did I do the right thing? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that would be really good. That would be really good in place of the whole slaughtering of the Maquis scene.
Right.
Is the two... Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that very much. Yeah. So, I mean, as far as handling the rest of the story goes, I think instead of Janeway being on the bridge, you could have Tom and Harry and Tuvok handling the Melon for most of the episode, quite honestly. No big deal there. And then meanwhile, Janeway is kind of playing off on the holodeck. You could even keep the scene where she is in the mess hall, forcing herself to interact with Neelix. You know, where B'Elanna has banana pancakes for the first time. Mm-hmm. My question is, what would Janeway have in place of banana pancakes? Because that's B'Elanna's thing. Would Janeway's be coffee ice cream?
I was just about to say coffee ice cream. My lips were forming the syllables to say coffee ice cream right before
I wish I would have gotten a screen grab of that. That was really sweet. So, coffee ice cream it is. Bravo.
Coffee ice cream it is, yes.
Okay. So yeah, she has that bite and she's just, okay, whatever. I'm eating kind of because I have to live, but it doesn't taste like anything, that sort of thing. I mean, we know that something is wrong with Janeway. And then, of course, and I'm not even taking this on a relationship or angle, but you are going to have Chakotay in my story helping Janeway through this. He's going to have the same conversations that he had with B'Elanna. Are you depressed? Do you want to commit suicide? What is up? I'm here for you. I want to talk. I'm here to listen. You can have the same exact dialogue if you want to between those two, and it's still going to work. Because trust me, I tested it in my head.
I believe you.
Yeah, it would still work. And it's, of course, you can add as much, I don't want to put, like, say, double entendre with it or not, but you can add the Janeway Chakotay dimension to it where they have a little more something. You know, Catherine, I care about you. I still love you. You could go as far as you want with it or as little as you want with it. But either way, it still works and it's still effective all the same. And so I would keep all of that. And I'd have Chakotay throw her into the holodeck, the whole bit. And then the ending scene. Again, I would have the same thing where B'Elanna thanks Chakotay for being a friend and helping her out and being there. Keep it just as scripted. And then Janeway goes and takes a bite of coffee ice cream. And maybe she's enjoying it just a little bit more than she did the last time. And we know that she is on the way back to being herself. End of story.
That's good. I like that. I think that's a solid episode. It keeps the storyline. It keeps the structure. It keeps the timeline. Nothing's changed too considerably. We're just sans one great B'Elanna episode.
Yeah, which is a shame, right?
Well, I mean, that's what we're doing with this.
Yes,
with this episode.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, the point is what I found really interesting about rewriting, because I didn't really actually rewrite that much, is the fact that when you have a good episode, you don't have to do as much work. You work on the details, not the big stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I got out of it. So now I've been talking for a long time, and I am dying to know what you did with this episode. So please, forge ahead.
Well, with this, I and changed probably more than you.
Okay.
I ditched the holodeck angle completely.
Oh, you did?
So there's no holodeck, no nothing, but there still is the probe and the space race and everything like that. And so with this, like I did the same thing with you though, is that like, you know, like the events of night still happened. But the thing is, it's, you know, like she comes to the bridge when she needs to, you know, like when there's an emergency, she's still the captain. A depressed captain is still the captain.
Yeah. And I figure she's trying to put on a good front to show them, hey, look, I am still here. I'm still the captain.
Right. Right. And that still happens. But at the end of night, we change something to the point where it's not so optimistic, where, yes, they save the day and yes, they get through it and they win. But she still goes back to her quarters and Chakotay just looks very sullen and then in credits. And then the same thing kind of happens in episode two, you know, like, you know, oh, my God, we're all going to die. But they still save the day, but things are still, she's still despondent, she's still removed, and people are still wondering what's going on with her. But we get a little bit more interaction with Chakotay and Janeway, where he asks a few more questions, he's a little bit more direct. And then with Extreme Risk, I didn't really do the suicidal angle. I know it's called Extreme Risk, and that's the entire purpose of the episode, is like, you know, like, are you trying to hurt yourself? Are you trying to commit suicide? This one for me is the culmination of the past 5 years. Like this is the episode where she just can't take it anymore. And she starts to have anxiety attacks.
Oh, ooh, okay.
And I took it from that direction because I've never really admitted this to too many people, but I started dealing with that the past couple of years. And it just came out of nowhere. Went to the doctor and said, I was like, why am I feeling like this? You know, like, why do I feel like I'm going to die? You know, like when I'm completely fine.
Well, and here's the thing. If you've never had an anxiety attack, it comes on really sudden. And you feel like you really are freaking out. And it doesn't necessarily have a trigger. It can happen anytime. I've only had a couple in my life. So maybe you can fill me in on a little more detail just because I've not had terribly many in my life. I've had more generalized anxiety and only a couple mm-hmm. of anxiety attacks. But if you have had an anxiety attack, you know what that is once you yeah. have a name for it, because it is scary.
It is scary, and it's also it's you feel like you lose control. That's the thing, is that you feel like you don't have control over your life, and mm-hmm. that's the biggest thing. Like, sometimes the room will cave in on you, like your eyes will turn into pinpoints where, like, it just get black surrounds you. Some people get nausea. Some people feel like there's a huge weight on their chest. They feel like they're having a heart attack. It can differ from person to person. Mm-hmm. And with me, I'm actually pretty lucky in the realm of in the realm of anxiety, where I don't feel like it's hard on my chest or on my heart or anything like that. Sometimes I can get a little sweaty, get a little nervous, and even though everything's completely fine, I'm just like, ah, what the hell. And when I went to the doctor and you know, talked about it, he started describing certain things that I've been feeling my entire life. Mm. And he said, he's like, yeah, that's not normal. I was like, what? That's not normal to feel that way?
It's been normal for you.
Yeah, it was normal for me. But what happened was, my entire life, I was just white knuckling it. And then there was an event uh-huh. in a couple of years ago that I'm not going to talk about. But there was an event a couple of years ago that just opened up the floodgates. And then I no longer had a handle over it. And this is what I wanted to do to Janeway. I mm-hmm. wanted this episode, I wanted episode 3 of season 5 to be her explosion event, where the floodgates open for Janeway.
I gotcha.
The reason why I'm coming at this episode with this perspective is because I have that perspective. And
right. You write what you know, right?
Yeah, like, I wanted the depression to come about, like, as we saw in Night, and continue, but then just explode into anxiety. And as a captain of a starship, and having anxiety attacks, not good. You know, like...
No, not at all.
Tristan at the Midwest, when he's just trying to go to the airport, the only person that he's going to inconvenience is himself and his wife. But if a captain of a starship has an anxiety attack, people can die.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, this is really good. And I'm sorry that you had to go through anxiety attacks, because that's awful. But this is a really good thing to portray. I don't know... No, I take it back. We have seen anxiety attacks portrayed before on Star Trek, but maybe not as a focus of an episode.
I think we saw some from O'Brien in Deep Space Nine, but not too heavily focused. I think you're right. But to continue on, to put this towards Janeway, what happens is they do the space race. She's despondent, and she keeps going to her quarters, and we don't know what she's doing in her quarters. We don't know what's going on. And Chakotay has just had enough, and so he barges into her quarters and sees that she is watching personal logs of people who have passed away.
Oh, brutal.
Under her command.
Yes.
And because she's the captain, she can access these personal logs. Even though it's not ethical, she does it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And she has, and like, she shuts them off when he comes in, and she's like, how dare you? You know, she's just insanely pissed off at Chakotay. And Chakotay says, I am your XO. And I am your friend, maybe something more than that. And I care about you, and I needed to know what was going on. And she's like, this is none of your business. You have no right. He says, this is, of course, my business, for the reasons that I just stated. And I need to know the health of my captain and my friend. And then he says, he's like, I recognize that face. You know, like, and he lists somebody's name who died in the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. And says, it's like, those are personal. Why are you looking at those? And she says, she's like, I need to know more about the people that I've killed. Chakotay's like, why are you phrasing it that way? You didn't kill them. You tried to save them. No, I killed them directly. I'm the one who pulled the trigger. I'm the one who pressed the button. I'm the one who caused everybody to be stranded here in the Delta Quadrant. I am just as responsible as their deaths as the Borg are, as the Kazon are, as blah, 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 as blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Severe guilt.
How long have you been doing this? How long has this been going on? And she says that just the past couple of years. And he says, it's like, you can't go on this way. And she starts to quote their personal logs verbatim in their voice. Not literally in their voice, but...
Sure. Doing an impression.
Yeah, she says, like, dear mom, I'm so looking forward to coming home. I have no idea if you're getting this letter. I we're here in the Delta Quadrant, but every day I think about you. You know, like, she just starts quoting, and then she starts going, like, almost like Seven does, because she has this kind of memory. mm-hmm. you know, where like Seven can repeat logs that she just took a glance at, but Janeway's been analyzing these for years, and she just starts rattling off names, just one by one, of everybody who's been lost under her command. Chakotay says, we need to see someone. You need to talk with the doctor. We need to get through this. And she's like, no, I'm not letting go of this. I deserve this. And then we move on to the B storyline where the space race is going on. They launch the Delta Flyer. And so like it goes to the gas giant and then it gets trapped somehow. It gets caught in some tech to tech, you know, like science to science. It gets stuck there and it doesn't look like they're going to come out. B'Elanna is down there. Seven's down there. Tom's down there. And for a moment, they think that they're dead, that they're not coming back. Janeway starts sweating. She can't breathe, and she's on the bridge. All of a sudden, we do some trick with the camera work where, you know, the walls are closing in. She goes to her red room as fast as possible, and she holds on Chakotay as she does it. And Chakotay looks at Tuvok and does the whole Riker thing where he points to the ready room. And Tuvok and Chakotay go to the ready room with Janeway, and Janeway has her full-blown freak out. She's screaming, she's crying, she's sweating, she can't handle it. And she talks about how she just lets loose. And she's so angry that the two of them are ganging up on her. Uh-huh. And she says, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. I cannot lose Tom. I can't lose B'Elanna. I can't lose Seven. I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Tuvok and Chakotay help her get through it. They ride it out with her. They don't try to convince her that everything's okay.
Yeah, because it's not.
Because it's not. And they ride it out with her. Tuvok does this whole Vulcan thing where he says, he's like, calm your mind. You know, like he's, you know, he doesn't, he, I'm not talking about a mind meld. I'm not saying anything like that. But he uses his wisdom and his experience to help focus her, because that's all that she needs is focus and help and
understanding. And hugs from Chakotay.
And hugs from Chakotay.
Sorry, had to interject.
No, I like that idea. I like that idea. We have that visual.
Like he hugs it out with her, man. He's hanging on for dear life with her. That's what I'm thinking.
Like she's sitting down, like Tuvok's sitting down in front of her, and Chakotay has his arms around her, or his arm around her, plural or singular, I don't know. And they write it out, and she just lets her guilt go. She just lets it out to Tuvok, and Tuvok, with his wisdom and his logic, helps her get through it. Chakotay talks to her and says, I want you to stay here. I'm going to go out into the bridge and figure this out. Now, the producers of Star Trek would have her go, no, I'm going to finish this.
Right.
But Tristan Riddell, as a producer, says no. Janeway says, okay.
Chakotay's got this one for once.
For once. Chakotay says, I got this. And Janeway understands that she's not fit for command at this time. Chakotay saves the day. Janeway sits this one out, and she realizes that if she holds on to this guilt any longer, her anxiety is going to get worse, her depression is going to get worse, and she's going to be no help to the crew, and more people are going to die because she's not going to be there for them. And so that's the catalyst to make her do something about it, not just sit back and go, oh, woe is me, I can't take the guilt anymore, and just wallow in her grief. That's when she decides to do something and be proactive, whether that's talking with the doctor or with the help of medication or just facing her fears and facing her guilt or all of the above.
That's what I was thinking. All the above. Yeah.
That's where she turns a new leaf and says, okay, I'm going to get through this and you're going to help me. And Chakotay and Tuvok both go, we'll always be there by your side, whether it's on the bridge or off the bridge. And then they get them back, and then that's the end of the episode.
I like it. I love the fact that you have Tuvok and Chakotay both helping her out, because I think by season 5, really, the whole relationship between Janeway and Tuvok had really gone by the wayside at this point, and I felt like that was always a sad move, because they started off so close, such good friends, and to have them both there, they would be the two.
I think so.
That would be there for her the most. And so to kind of refresh the fact that, yes, that relationship is as strong as ever is a very good idea.
Thank you.
And I love the fact that she loses it. Because that's a very human thing to do, especially if you're having anxiety attacks, much less just normal circumstances. But you know what? She's been through a lot in 5 years. It would make sense that anybody would go through this. And so to portray it, wow, that would be incredibly powerful acting for one thing, and a great, great, great story. But then on the relatability factor, yes, Yes, you'd be helping a lot of people out there who just feel completely overwhelmed by life and feel less alone by the fact that, hey, you know what? Even Captain Janeway gets overwhelmed and is carrying a lot of grief. We all have a burden. We're all going to work on it and get through it because that's what we have to do to keep going.
Now that we're talking it out, I'm wondering what kind of backlash would there be for portraying Janeway in this fashion? Like, even though you and I see it as relatable and as human and a character arc that I think we deserve, I think some critics out there would say, oh, well, you know, like, Janeway can't handle being a captain. Like, Sisko can do it, Picard can do it, Archer can do it, Kirk can do it. What are you trying to say here?
Yeah, I know I was thinking the same exact thing as I was saying the whole things about, yeah, it would be great if Janeway lost it, but then there's going to be people out there saying, oh, well, since she's a woman, you know, she's probably just PMSing, and this is why women shouldn't be starship captains. No, the thing is I really wish we would have seen Picard lose it. And actually, you know what? We did. Did you watch Star Trek First Contact when he broke the little ships? That was his moment of losing it.
People would argue that, you know, like, the movie Picard is very different from TNG Picard. But what I would say is that we did see him lose it in the episode Family when he was with his
That's true.
Brother. He broke down and cried in the mud because he couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah. Okay. So is this such a bad thing? Captains are under a lot of pressure. It doesn't matter which sex they are. Eventually, you've got to find a way to deal with it, however that might be. And Janeway, right now, being out alone in the Delta Quadrant, her ship is all that she has. She is under a lot of freaking pressure. And this has nothing to do with the fact that she is a woman. Okay.
Yep.
So for
it's
the
21st century. We're past it.
Seriously. Yeah. Just, yeah. Well, and even Ben Sisko is holding complete resentment to Jean-Luc Picard over Wolf 359 for losing Jennifer.
I mean,
he didn't quite lose it, but he was definitely not kind about it. You know, we all harbor something.
Right.
So they're human beings too, guys. And I would much rather see it portrayed this way than I'm a cold-faced captain who's got it all together and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to just bang right through this one and the next one and ask for more. And it's not going to affect me one bit because that's not realistic.
Exactly.
So there. So yeah, okay, we've got two really good rewrites of Extreme Risk, but even Extreme Risk in and of itself was a fantastic episode, and so I think we've got good things all around.
As much as I like our rewrites, I love yours, and I think mine has just a little bit different take.
Yours has edge, and I like that.
But I love the original.
Me too. Me too. It's still good, especially for a one-hour drama. Like I said, you're not going to cure depression in an hour, but they did do a nice job of showing how somebody can just not feel. I think the portrayal of that was really good. Like, what comes to mind immediately for me is the scene where B'Elanna kind of reaches out to her reflection in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I even really here? That is a very real thing. I mean, in the throes of my depression, I definitely felt that way, where I look at the reflection in the mirror and I don't even know that that's me. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. You can tell that somebody who has been through it wrote that episode.
Yeah, and just, I don't remember who wrote this episode. Do you know off the top of your head?
Kenneth Biller, but...
Okay.
I mean, that's not to say that he went through it. He could have had some help. He could have heard a story from someone who went through it. You know, somebody who contributed to that story, clearly that was based on something real.
Yeah. Well, and of course, even though somebody gets a writing credit, I think they all have a hand in making these episodes happen, the whole writing team. But whoever did it, good for you, because you did get some things right, and I appreciate that very much. Rewriting Extreme Risk is not the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week, and so here's a little glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
I also like how they're like, here's some random stuff. Let us have one of your people. Like, they think that this is actually like a fair trade. Like, here's some ugly shield. Take it and let me have one of your best friends in the world. Like, what is he going to do? Yeah. Hang that up on his wall and be like, this is better than McCoy.
Earl Grey.
You know, what the dressing up and what the clubs and the meetings and the podcast, you know, all really comes down to is just finding and talking and being around other people who enjoy something that you really enjoy.
The Orb.
I'd like to see the Borg assimilate for Ingenar, and then they would become bankers. You know, I could see...
Oh my gosh,
I could see
bankers.
Drones. Yeah, yeah.
The world's strictest bank ever. Right. I'm sorry, you have not paid your loan. You will be assimilated.
The nanites go into you.
Yes.
To the journey!
You could say that the Equinox does get destroyed, but Captain Ransom lives. And since he is the highest ranking officer that's alive, he assumes command of Voyager.
I hate that idea. The ready room.
I do like that he just drops out of the sky naked. That is the perfect way to introduce Q. And then I love, just before we cut to the credits, they get this great shot of him looking up at Picard, and he's like, hey, what up? You know, right? A little flirty. I love it.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
So I think it actually fits into Quantum Leap continuity somehow. I don't know. I'll have to go to Pubala.com and see what they say.
Don't you dare try to make me feel obligated to watch NCIS.
The 602 Club.
But I loved the scene with Lucy and Tumnus when they first meet, because mm-hmm. that's a very yeah. vivid description in the book. And I felt like they really nailed that in terms of the way it looked. And the CGI was advanced enough so that James McAvoy really looked like he had fawn legs. And
literary treks.
Tell us about coming up with this story for the crew of the Enterprise. Where did it come from for you, and what were some of your inspirations for diving into these characters once again?
Well, Troublesome Minds was such a book that it left me with as if I didn't quite finish. I'd come up with Troublesome Minds as an idea. The idea was, what pushes Spock toward Kolinar?
Axanar, the official podcast.
There is more to life than just get up, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, repeat until dead. There's more to life than that. And I believe that that's the essential magic of Star Trek, is that it says... It appeals to that urge to get up off the couch, walk out the front door, and go see what's out there.
And introducing the newest addition to the network, Women at Warp.
Iman is fabulous, and I quite like Martia.
Yeah, me too. She's a fun character.
Yep. Also, you think Kirk would be happier about kissing himself.
Right?
It was his lifelong ambition.
Yeah. I don't know, I more feel like it's his lifelong ambition to kiss Spock, but maybe that's just me.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We're available on any kind of platform where you can get your podcast desires. None of them are possible without the help of a sponsor, so let's hear about that.
Our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to, but never thought you had the time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks, with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice, along with a 30-day trial, to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
Now, before we go, we want to talk about how you can help support this show and Trek.fm at large, and that is through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/trekfm. And what we have set up here is a monthly subscription system where you can donate as little or as much as you like, and every little bit helps support this network. We really do count on our fans to help with storage, bandwidth, distribution, the whole thing on how you get these podcasts every single day of the week. All of the support is appreciated, but especially on TTJ, we want to thank our associate producers, Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, and Aaron Harvey. You can follow Aaron on Twitter at GeekFilter, and we thank them all for supporting TTJ and Trek FM at large. Now, if you don't have any money to contribute, you can still support the show by writing us a review on iTunes. And we have two lovely people to thank for leaving us 5 stars in the US iTunes store and for writing us a review. And these lovely people are Brendan LaLore, I'm hoping I'm saying that right, and Captain Never Was. That's a great username. They both left us awesome reviews, so thank you very much, you two, for doing that. If you've not done that, please consider doing so. We would love to give you a shout-out on the show, just like we did for these fine folks, and it helps us out greatly because iTunes is still the top way for people to find podcasts. The more reviews and ratings we have, the easier it is for other people to find the show, and the bigger the party, the more fun we have. So now that I've blabbed on enough about that, let's talk about what's going on next week. Tristan, what's up?
Next week is a list show, and we love our list shows here on To The Journey, and it is going to be upbeat, it's going to be fun, and what it is our top five favorite moments from season four.
That sounds as good as banana pancakes.
If not, coffee ice cream, but you'll have to tune in next week to hear it. So until then, this has been To The Journey.
To the journey!